the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I ask that you would please rise. I'd like for us to stand beneath the cross as we listen to the words of the one who was crucified for us. Please join with me in reading the text for this evening as we find it from John chapter 19. Now the next screen. Finished. What is it?
Finished.
Where'd you get that? Please sit down. People of God, people whose faith is in Christ Jesus, our crucified King. And that's the good word from Christ our King. Ever hear that? Of course we do. Whenever Pastor Tom is preaching, we come to anticipate that toward the end of the sermon, he is going to close with those particular words. That's the good word from Christ our King. Indeed, Jesus not only brings the good word, Jesus is the good word of God's gospel. Well, tonight we see that God the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John changes that statement just a little bit. That's the good word from the cross of Christ our King. Finished. It's a simple word. We're accustomed to a three-worded translation. It is finished. And the Greek and the Aramaic, however, are a single word, finished. And when we read through the Gospel of John, God the Holy Spirit has John record this particular word of Jesus, finished. And then after that, talks to us about how Jesus took his last breath, bowed his head in death, and it was done. From the cross we hear a single final word. How would we reduce a person's life into one word? When we come to people like Hitler's or the Stalins or Lenin's or Mao Zedong, the word horror comes to mind. Well, what about Jesus? What he has accomplished for us simply cannot be contained within volumes of many different words. But tonight, as we stand beneath this cross, this one word from the crucified Jesus is used to describe his entire life. The word finished. Now, finished can be used in the sense of lost, completely beaten, done in. After all, just a few moments after he said this word from the cross, Jesus takes his last breath, he dies, his life is over. And if we were there standing beneath the cross on that particular day, seeing the lifeless, beaten body of Jesus that had been tortured by terrible pain, we would have to come to the conclusion that when he cried out, finished, he was saying he was done for. To see the body of Jesus hanging on the cross, we would conclude, Rome won, Jesus lost. Death won, Jesus lost. Satan won, Jesus lost. And if Jesus lost, what does that mean for us as we stand beneath the cross? If the sinless Son of God dies, what hope is there for us? If the sinless one loses, what hope do we sinners have? And so the word finished, lost, completely wiped out. From all appearances, that seems to be an appropriate way to look at this single word. For many people in our society today, in our world today, that's how they interpret the word finished. They think of the life of Jesus as kind of a Shakespearean tragedy. They think that Jesus was a good man, he was an exceptional man, but he simply could not survive the tragedies of life, and he was killed by injustice. In their way of thinking, then, Jesus, like so many others in our world, was nothing more than a victim. He was perhaps better than most, but the reality remains, he was a victim. He dies at the hands of injustice. And so for them, finished means lost, done in, defeated, victimized. Standing at the foot of the cross, hearing the word of Jesus in this way produces only more hopelessness and helplessness and a sense of defeat. Because in that word, spoken that way, interpreted that way, it is finished for us. But the Greek word finished has a completely different tone and meaning. It can also be translated as fulfilled, completed, accomplished. And suddenly the sense of this word now is turned right side up. Instead of declaring that he was defeated, Jesus is declaring that he is victorious. Instead of Jesus crying out saying, "My life is a tragedy which accomplished nothing," this word from the cross declares, in spite of the tragedy of the cross, I have completed and accomplished the mission for my life. Not a victim, a victor. Not a loser, the one who has gained everything. And what plan was it that Jesus accomplished? Certainly wasn't our plan. This is not the kind of plan that we would devise. It's the eternal plan, devised by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit even before the universe began, even before they began to create the very first beam of light. And it was a plan that was shown to be needed by the first sin in the garden, a plan to rescue sinful people who are constantly fighting against God. It's certainly a plan that we, as sinful people, can never accomplish or fulfill, a plan to completely overcome our sin and our guilt. And what an unusual, shocking plan. The Lord of glory, commander of all the angelic hosts of heaven, goes into battle alone, even without the help or the assistance or the presence of his loving Heavenly Father. The one who is the creator of all of life that is good completely sets aside his good life and dies a horrible death. And so as we stand at the foot of the cross, from our perspective, we would say, it's over. It's all over. And to make that reality even more harsh, we have to walk behind Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea as they carry the body of Jesus, placing it in a borrowed tomb. And watching the stone rolled in front of the tomb, we think, it's over. It is definitely over. But as that great theologian Yogi Berra, even though he didn't know he was being a theologian, said, it ain't over until it's over. It ain't over until it's over. And it isn't until we see the stone rolled away from the tomb that we finally begin to understand the meaning of the word, finished. Finished. Finished and fulfilled. Jesus declaring that he has done everything that is needed to fulfill the eternal plan. And because he has fulfilled the plan, now our lives can be filled full with the assurances of his promises. Filled full with the promise of finished, completed, that the payment of our sin, complete, total, full payment of all of our sin. That as we stand before God reviewing our sinful lives, we discover the words, paid in full by the one who is crucified for us, is stamped upon our lives. Even those sins which Satan continually tries to superglue in our minds and in our hearts. Sins that we cannot forget. The regrets, the if-onlys, all those things of the past which we cannot get out of our system, God has already stamped them, paid in full, done, complete. Fulfilled, filled full as a risen Savior walks out of the tomb stating, "My work here is done." And then he invites us to walk out of our tombs, to walk out of the tombs of our sin, our guilt, our shame, our fears of death, our fears of life, to walk out of the tomb to be with him. Centuries ago, because of their sin, Adam and Eve had to be driven out of the garden. And they were driven out in shame. And because they found that because of their sin, there was no place for them to be in the presence of God. But now God himself not only promises to be with us, he also invites us to walk with him throughout this life and into eternity. From Adam and Eve, who are temporarily clothed with animal skins in an attempt to cover their shame, that's the way it was in the past. But we get the opportunity to be clothed in the holiness, the righteousness of Christ Jesus, cleansed and covered of all of our guilt and shame. All because of the one who declared finished. Finished. In one of his musical masterpieces, titled St. John's Passion, Johann Sebastian Bach finds himself standing at the foot of the cross. He is standing there, he is watching his Savior die. Bach hears Jesus cry out, "Finished." And then he watches as Jesus takes his last breath and drops his head in death. As Bach saw that, he realized that what he was seeing was a silent nod of yes. And so Bach writes this, "My beloved Savior, let me now ask you, since you have now been nailed to the cross, and you yourself have said, it is accomplished, have I been set free from death? Through your pain and death, can I inherit the kingdom of heaven? Is this the redemption price you have paid, not only for all the world, but for me? My Savior, you cannot speak because of your anguish, but I watch and I see you bow your head and silently say, yes." A silent nod that says yes. Yes, it is finished. Yes, it is complete, accomplished, fulfilled. And in that silent yes, a silent nod as Jesus bows his head and dies, in that yes, we have life. In that yes, we have life because it is finished.